Okay, sorry, I digress. So we want to start off by giving everybody who came a big yashar koach. I'm having a little trouble with my throat, but you'll bear with me. Okay. And we'll see if we can. Maybe we'll try to end a little early the hazardous conditions. But, okay. I think we're in the middle of discussing two related topics. One is the concept of Bez Notan, which we went through the Gemara and discussed some of the implications. We're in the middle of discussing some other cases of that. Namely, why do you and what does, is the significance of requiring a Bez Notan, a tilted Bez Notan, odd-numbered Bez Notan. And in connection with that, the Gemara provides the source for why it is that we say Azlinam Basarov, that we go by majority rule in a dispute between Dayanim, judges, in Dine Mamanis, with the Pasuk Afrov Acharab Lahatos, in the context of judges, really is referring to the Parsha of Dine Nefashos. So the Gemara says, we learn that Kal v'chomer from Nefashos to Mamanis. If in Nefashos, which is more chamor, we're able to come to a conclusion on the basis of a rove, then certainly in Dini Mamanis, which is reversible, which is of much less consequence, a completely different kind of case anyway, so certainly we can operate on the basis of the din of rove. And then Rabbeinu Chananel put the two together, somehow rove and Bez Notan, that makes sense, are two sides of the same coin. So that's one thing that we pursued in the Gemara. Then we discussed the Gemara of Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether you need five Dayanim to produce a majority of three, or three Dayanim to produce a majority of two. That was the second issue. And then the third issue that we were discussing was Tosis' question, and that is, how can you go by row of, how can you follow probability in matters of Dine Mamanis? After all, the Gemara says in Bava Kama and Bava Basra, that ain holchem b'mamun acharov, whenever you have motzi mechavero, olav harayas. Whenever you have a clash between a tovea and an itva, and you're trying to extract money from somebody's bank account, so you shouldn't be able to do that, because there's a minority view, and that should support the chazaka or the mukzakus of the nitva, and you shouldn't be able to be motzi Mamon, and that's what the Gemara seems to say in Bava Kama and above Basra. So what we saw last time was that there are two Tosasin. Tosasin Sanhedrin suggests that indeed there is really no rule of Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acharov. That's really an exception to the rule, and it only applies to what we call an inferior rove. And what makes it an inferior rove? That's a big debate among the Mefarshim, but certainly one possibility is the one I mentioned in the name of the Shev Shmaitza, and that is that it's a factual rove, but it's not a natural rove. In other words, in a particular society, this happens to be the trend, you know, for how people call things, you know, what people do. But as opposed to, or in contrast to, a natural rove, one which is based either on natural laws, when a woman normally gives birth, you know, whether people are, you know, forgetful or not, you know, when it comes to, you know, the very fine nuances of the calendar, whether or not it's something that depends on logic and, you know, a convincing argument. So that, for example, the majority rule of Dayanim is not something which is factually true here or there. It's grounded in the assumption that if you have, you know, people who are roughly intellectually on the same level, and you know, who are trained, you know, in a similar way, that you know, that the majority, you know, who embrace a certain point of view, are more likely to get it right than the minority. Of course, we know that's not infallible, and that's why I formulated it the way that I did. Also, we also know that the numbers are irrelevant if you don't roughly have, you know, similar quality. The point is that according to Tosas here, the real rule is Holchem B'Mamon Achar harov, as long as it is a very compelling rov. Not in the numbers, mind you. None of this has to do with mathematics. Not numbers of probability, but the character of a particular, the nature of a certain rule of probability. On the other hand, Tosis and Bava Kamma ask the same question, same contradiction. Instead of saying that the exception is the Gemara in Bava Kamma Bava Basra and that the rule is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says exactly the opposite. The rule is that Ein Hochem B'Mamon Achar Rov. And when it comes to Dinei Mamonis Simotzim B'Chaver Lo V'Araya, you don't operate on the basis of majority or probability. However, there is an exception to that, and that is Dayanim. And the question is why? What's so unique about Dayanim? So Tosis there says two things, seemingly, and the question is what the connection is between them, whether there are two things or there's one, and if so, is it one which causes the other, or vice versa? But the two things Tosis mentions are that in the case of Dayanim and Sanhedrin, the miut is kemandalesa, meaning the minority is doesn't register, it's like non-existent. And then he goes on to say, and therefore, when Bezin Paskins and there being Motzi Mamon is not a problem of Motzi Michaver, all of Araya, because it's Bezdin being, you know, Mapik Mamon. So it sounds like there are two different points here. One is that we don't have a minority, we only have the majority. So for example, if it's a 2-1 vote, what we're saying is it's like, you know, it's two, but the one is gone. The second point is, you're worried about Motzi Michaver all of Araya. When it comes to Bezdin, you don't have to worry about that because Hefker Bezdin Hefker, because a Bezdin is standing behind this particular decision. Anyways, we went through some of the different interpretations of Tosis in Bava Kamma. I mentioned the view of the Tumim. Now, some who say that it's a question of Motzi Michaver all of Araya and the question of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That's one perspective. That's not the Tumim. Then everything goes by the Seifa, and what we mean when we say that the Reisha is Kalesa, we don't really mean it's Kalesa. We mean that, you know, you can't, it's not going to effectively alter the balance of power because of Motzi Michaver Lo V'Araya, because Motzi Michaver Lo V'Araya is not an issue whenever you have a Bezin, because you have a Bezin. That's one pshat. The other pshat was the Tumim, a very intriguing pshat, who said that whenever you have a majority and a minority, right, there are two possible relationships. One is that they are compatible, you know, they're within a certain pool. That some women give birth in the 7th month, some, you know, many more women give birth in the 9th month. Some people remember, all the details of the calendar, and others do not. In the same society, you'll have both of these populations, and, you know, there's no contradiction in that. Of course, you still have to figure out which subcategory, you know, is going to determine when you have a doubt and you're projecting and so on and so forth. Oh. But there are some roves and miuts which are mutually exclusive. And when there's a legal argument, right, or a factual argument, and rove and miut come to play in that, so then the mutual exclusivity changes the interplay or the interaction between the parts. So when it comes to Sanhedrin, what's unique is that the miut says the tumim is kamanda lesa because it's contradicted by the rov. The rov says chayiv, and the miut says zakai, or vice versa, right? So if that's the case, you know, the idea is that, you know, when both populations are acknowledged, and you don't know whether to project, you know, a particular person or thing as part of one or the other. So this is a legitimate question. You know, you have two forces, and you have to try to contend with, you know, you can't deny the presence of each. But in the case where you have mutual exclusivity, where it's a legal argument, where there's only one answer, then the majority basically vanquishes the minority. The minority doesn't register anymore. And as such, that's what we mean when we say that there's miut, dayanim, are keman delay. That's the tumim. Now, what the tumim says, I think I mentioned last time, would be true not only in the context of a Sanhedrin, but even in a halachic debate, you know, of, outside of a Sanhedrin. Let's say, can you say things like kimli, kadas, x or y or b or a or b, even if they're not in the Bezdin, even if they're not living at the same period of time and so on. However, yeah.
The case that we discussed by
They're not. That's exactly the point.
So, but over there we say inauthentic.
Exactly. Because we count the minority. Because they're not mutually exclusive. Some people buy for shechita, some people buy for field work, right? Therefore, and we know they're both types. Just that one is a majority, one's a minority. Since they're both types, the miur is k'man d'isa, and therefore we say ein hocham mamon acharo. But if it had been mutually exclusive, you'd have to choose one or the other. We'll choose the majority, we'll deny the minority. We won't grant it any kind of impact whatsoever, and that'll be a different story. Yeah.
Isn't there an easier explanation, this is just my, that in one case you're talking about issues of substantive law?
Yeah.
In other words, minority, but bended is a matter of procedure. So when it comes to determining how you're going to adjudicate, that's different than a question of what the substantive law is, like whether you would use a majority to override a mostly.
Well, I think that's pretty much what Rav Chaim is. You'll tell me if that isn't the same thing. But this is, you know, the major punchline. So the final answer, you'll tell me if this isn't the point. The final answer, I think I presented in two ways. One, because I was trying to highlight also Rav Chaim's, approach to Talmud Torah and to Torah concepts, really. And that is, I think I first presented the Pesuk of the Maran Ibn Chaviv, who says that the pshat in Tosas, when Tosas says that the minority judge is k'man d'leisa, is that when, you know, when people sign up to, you know, as a team to hear a case in court, then there's kind of an implicit or tacit understanding, you know, that, you know, they will support the majority conclusion. And not to do, one second, and not to do so is a kind of, the way he formulates it, a kind of moderate or mini Zakein Mamre. In other words, I can argue as hard as I want in what do they call it? Inside the court.
What?
There's some formal words. In
oral argument?
No. Okay. There's some locus that they all call it, whatever it is. But whatever it is, in chambers, I guess, right? In the privacy of chambers, of the judge's chambers, when the Masa Matan is taking place, it doesn't take place in public, right?
So that was the difference of Zora, did
you take place? No, but the Masa Matan of something else. Then each one can argue his cases vociferously, you know, as vigorously as he wants. But in the end of the day, says Imam Ibn Khabib, they have to, you know, come out and they have to support each other. That's the tacit compact, we'll call it, you know, between them. And therefore, the emir is command line. What Reb Chaim said was the same exact idea, but Reb Chaim said it, instead of like there's an implicit agreement, Reb Chaim said, forget about implicit agreements, nothing to do with implicit agreements. It's the definition of what a Bezdin is.
Yeah.
A Bezdin is not three judges. A Bezdin is a unit composed of a three-man panel, the consensus of which is the decision of the court. Right? The court is an integrated whole. Isn't that kind of what you're saying?
I'm saying that this is how they decide.
This is how the court decides definitively.
Right.
Right, so you're saying Reb Chaim. Good. It's good to say Reb Chaim. You can't do better than that. It's the highest compliment. So basically that's the pshat according to Reb Chaim, that the dayan ashlishi, I mean legally, conceptually, he's geman d'leisa, because there aren't three dayanim, there's a bezdin, and the bezdin decide. So what the way Reb Chaim said this very elegantly, kedarko, was that it's not a din of azinu basarov, it's a din of rubo kekula. Right? But you can't just say that either, because the Gemara says that it's a din of azinu basarov. Right? The Gemara is talking about, you know, the Pesukim actually say, you know, acharavim lahatos. And the Gemara in Chulin, when it talks about azinu basarov, talks about Sanhedrin. So you can't deny, you can't just say, oh, this isn't the din in Azina Basarov, it's the din in Ruba Kekula. So Reb Chaim has to explain it, and he does. So what he says basically is, again, you know, this is what he's getting at. Reb Chaim's are sometimes hard to read. That's a little bit of a All right, anyways, simplification, we'll say. But basically what Chaim says is that when it comes to the determination of the law and the truth in the case, the truth of the law, you know, that's all kind of an abstract discussion. And as far as that is concerned, we say, Azlina Basaro. You know, it goes by the majority argument, basically. There's a miut, there's a rove. You know, they're fighting it out ferociously. And we go by rove like we do in any other. What do you say, Motzim Mechel, all right? We're not talking about the disbursement of the money at the moment. We're talking about the honest assessment of the case, right? However, once they've made that determination, so then the category of Beis Din, right, immediately morphs into not the Masa Matan, but the proclamation of the din, and that's where rubo kikulo, you know, kicks in. So rubo kikulo, there's never a miut, because that's the whole point, is that the roves represents the consensus of the whole. But if that's true, just one more second, let's give you the example for Maram ibn Khabib and for the Chayim. You wouldn't say the same thing by Kimli. Now, if I said, I don't accept your psak, dayanim, you know, motzim mekuvel avaraya, because it's based on a rejection of the psak of, you know, the Gadol Hador, or the one of the Gadol Hador, who's my Rebbe, whose psakim I accept, or maybe it needs to be more than one, whatever it is that allows for what we call kimli. And, sorry, not a Beis Din, let's say. So, according to the Tumim, there's no difference between a Beis Din argument and what we call a more abstract, you know, arraying of the forces, if you will, of, you know, different poskim, etc. But according, because the same idea, the mutual exclusivity is the same. But according to Rav Moshe ibn Khabib or Rav Chaim, this din that the miut is kamanda lesa, that's a special din in Beis Din, because it has to do with the way that Beis Din operates. For him, the implicit Zaken Mamre idea, and for him, the Rubo Kikulo. You don't say Rubo Kikulo when you're the Shulchan Aruch and you're deciding whether to paskin like the Rosh or the Rambam. You know? Yeah.
What Rav Chaim is saying, there are no dissenting opinions.
Right. In a way. On the level of Psa.
Unlike our Supreme Court.
Well, I'm not really sure how our Supreme Court works. In the end of the day, doesn't the Supreme Court... There can be dissenting opinions, but...
But not published.
Well, published. Okay.
I'm saying halacha.
Well, you know, somebody can write and always write an article. But the point is, in the case in front of us, we don't reveal who voted in which direction. But in the abstract issue, you know, that's a different story. And the Supreme Court is really, I guess the Supreme Court does deal with particular cases, right, when they're symbolic of bigger issues of law. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different. But listen, it's, you know, there are a lot of similarities, no question. We're in a little while we'll get to the Sugya Pshara, compromise. So the Gemara has different deos about, you know, our attitudes towards Pshara, and also at what point you could switch over from Din to Pshara. You know, even if you can switch, can you, you know, how far? So, it, you know, there's one view in the Gemara and above that you can switch, you know, as long as there's not yet a Gemar Din. But what's the Gemar Din? That's a different matter. So, you know, so I was reading in the paper the other day because, you know, there's this crisis now in the Supreme Court, right? Because Justice Scalia died, sadly. And apparently they finished all sorts of deliberations. There are all sorts of decisions sitting there. But officially they don't become binding, you know, until they're actually released. So even though it's very rare for this to happen, but if somebody were to have a change in, you know, in heart and or mind or both, or conscience or whatever it is, you know, the night before the release, and he changed his mind, that would still be doable. So apparently there are, I don't know how many, but you know, quite a number, 15, 20 decisions that are done and waiting to be released. But since officially, legally, you know, one could retract them at any time, so there, all that work is gone. And you know, depending on who the replacement is, it can have a huge impact on American law and American values in many cases. So many things are similar until you pronounce Gemar Din. You know, we also have rules. At what point, you know, can you, you know, when do you add judges, and when can you change your mind? And we will see soon. The sugya of Eni Odea is a very big issue. So these are the questions that are relevant. Yeah.
I just want to clarify. According to Rav Ach, Rav Avika.
Yeah.
So you can have one mumche, you can have two yoshei kronos, right? But you need three because of yoshei kronos.
Well, just remember two things.
So you can't say that the yoshei kronos should supersede the.
Well, we discussed this a little bit.
So how does that work with Achuram Nahato?
Right. So, number one, let's remember that Rav Ach Beit Ravika is Rav Ach Beit Ravika. Rava disagrees with him. Most of Shonen Paskin like Rava, but the Rambam does Paskin like Rava. Yeah. Correct.
Oh,
so number two. So let me go. That was only number one. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, let's remember that Rav Ach Beit Ravika says this halacha technically only in Hodos V'Havos, and not even in Gzeilos V'Chavos. Right,
that's
and he's not necessarily Hodos. Well, no, there's no pasuk acharab lahatos in Mamanus. Remember that it's in the Fashos. It's called the Chomer to Mamanus. Okay, right. No. What I'm saying is, if you have a yachid, the din of acharab lahatos is Daraisa.
Yeah.
So before we get to the Yoshvei Kronos, which is only a din Rabbanan, you know, let's look at Rav Ach Beit Ravika. Number one, do we pass like him? Number two, on a Daraisa level, there's only one. But even when there's one, let's remember something else, and that is the next point is that according to the Rambam, Upaskas Rav Ach Beit Ravika, what we tried to demonstrate is that, you know, there are two tracks, even in Hodos V'Avos, Doraisa, according to Rav Ach Beit Ravika, because even though the one is Moreh, Hora, you still need three for a Bezdin. So Doraisa, you still, the three-man Bezdin exists for Rav Ach Beit Ravika, even in Hodos V'Avos, Doraisa, and there you'd say Acharav Lahatos. There are no Yoshvei Kronos. One second. What's Bato Baro? There's no Yoshvei Kronos. I'm talking about Doraisa. We're talking about Doraisa first. I'm saying Doraisa, there are no Yoshvei Kronos.
Right.
Doraisa, there's either Chad or three. And even for the Rambam and Rav Ach Beit Ravika, Doraisa, when you need a Bezdin, there are three. And none of those three are Yoshvei Kronos. So your question can only exist on a Drabanan level for Rav Ach Beit Ravika, right? And who said that in Hodos V'Avos on a Drabanan level when you have one and two that we're still saying Acharav Lahatos, which is the Din Doraisa? Now, then, I think I pointed out at the time that there is actually a tshuva in the Tshuvas Gaonim HaKadmonim, right, which says that if you knew to identify the Yoshvei Kronos and the Chad Momcha in Achanami, and according to the Rush, who thinks that the three are just there to produce the one, maybe also in Achanami. The problem is that for Rav Ach Beit Ravika, you don't always know who's the Momcha and who's the Yoshvei Kronos. But if you did, according to both the Rush and the Atshuva the Gonim Kabonim in Achanami. But that wouldn't bother me so much what he did with the Pasuk, because that's only on the Drabanan level then anyway. According to the Adrama and Reb David Bonfil and others, we see you can't have Yoshvei Kronos. You can only have either three Gemiri or one Gamir and two Sviri. Then there's no problem at all. So it's a good question, but I'm saying we have to keep it in context of all the different. Okay, so this is what have we been discussing. So then last week we also started looking at, is the requirement of the Bezdin Note limited to decision-making batei dinim only, you know, for reasons that you need the capacity of the odd number in order to be decisive, or is it possible that it's a din of bezdin? Now, it could be a din of bezdin, and therefore even a maisa bezdin, or you know, or a panel, that a jurisdictional kind of panel, or a representational kind of panel of a three-man bezdin, even one that's not, you know, doing hachra'os, still requires the din of bezdin note. That we're not sure about. So we saw mixed evidence on that. And what's important about it is, it could be that it's just a kind of exeris and kosov, or a kind of a low plug. In other words, if some of the batei dinim are going to be making decisions, and therefore it's logical that they should require an odd man bezdin, right? So hu adin, you know, across the board. Or is the point maybe connected to what we've been talking about all along? Because we're trying to develop the notion that instead of seeing the dayanim as three individuals, maybe we should look at the bezdin as a unit, right? The unit which is developing a consensus, right, through the majority of its members. Now the point is that the odd number, because it is a way to build in, you know, structural greater self-sufficiency in cases where there is decision making, maybe symbolically that requirement, you know, is required even without decision making. It became like this symbolic number to highlight that Bezin works as a closed unit, meaning it has the capacity to make decisions. It's a decision capable Bezdin, i.e. a self-sufficient Bezdin, which kind of promotes the notion of its being a diffused, integrated, you know, rather than, you know, a loose group of individual dayani. Okay, so as far as that is concerned, we saw Tosis and Yavamos last time. I just want to go a couple more pieces of evidence, and then I want to continue with the question of how many three dayani men and the unit. We already saw last week, I believe, that Tosis and Yavamos talks about the 2 days regarding Chalitza. Why do you need a bezin nota, which the Gemara says you do, for Chalitza? Chalitza is a panel, basically, right? You do the Chalitza in the presence of Dayanim. It's not a bezin which is paskening halachos. So one day in Tosa says, well, there are still issues that come up, you know, do you need a kokocho, do you need this, do you need that? That kokocho by Egla Rufa, by Chalitza you have other issues. But the second answer of Tosis, Ode Shlomar, this is line 18, the Bechol Duktin, the Bin and Roy Lebezdin, Ein Bezdin Shokol. Whenever you need Roy Lebezdin, Ein Bezdin Shokol. So this came up regarding Bezdin of Kiddush HaKodesh as well. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah had a Havami. The Gemara says, listen, if Yachid Mumcha L'Rabim can be done Yechidi, maybe it can be Mekadosh HaKodesh Yechidi too. Right? Which is the Gemara's way of saying that maybe Dan Yechidi is a one-man Bezdin, not just Horah. Because what does Horah have to do with Kiddush HaKodesh? Right? But either way, so then the Gemara says, no. Eivecha Mumcha B'Yisrael, this is line 22, Yosar Mimosh Rabbeinu, B'Kambalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adika Aaron B'Hadach. You need Aaron with you. So the Bali Tosis then go on to say, that's good, that's two people. Where do you get three men in Bezdin? So Tosa says in line 25, the Ein Bezdin Shakol Mosifan Aleim Od Echad. Right? So that's Tosis's Ha'ara, and a lot of Rishonim accepted it, even though, again, in Kiddush HaKodesh, they're not paskening Shailas. Right? They're pronouncing or accepting the Eidos of the new month. But the Meiri suggests that this is line 30. So then the Miri adds, so learn that there are two. Miri says a remarkable thing. that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he and Aaron were Mekadesh HaSachar, could be Mekadesh HaSachodesh by themselves. Just the two of them. So obviously he's not working with, per se, the requirement of three, or Bezdin, no ten. So of course it's fascinating, is like, Moshe and Aaron? Right? What's the Yichus? I mean, we know the Yichus, but, like, what does it really mean? So I tried to explain that I think, you know, based on what we said earlier in the year, which is that Kiddush HaChodesh may be the prerogative of Klal Yisrael and the obligation of Klal Yisrael. And it's the Bezin HaGadol generally acting as a representative of Klal Yisrael. And that's what Moshe and Aaron were an exception, because Moshe represented Malkus, right? Aaron represented Kuhuna. So in terms of the collective leadership of Klal Yisrael, he had it there. But after that time, you know, the original Melech, the original Kohen Gadol, the original two brothers, in other words, after that time, you always needed a three-man Chalos Bezdin to get that same level of representation. But according to Meiri, certainly, there's no Dina Bezdin Notep per se, unless you think that, again, once you go to Bezdin, then you need that unit idea. Either way, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, what's that?
Doesn't proclaiming the Chodesh require judgment and decision, interrogating the witness as to exactly
a little bit,
soul,
just to make
arguing?
There's no arguing. It's to make sure there's a determination that they really saw it. So, but no one, it's put it this way, it's very different than a dispute between litigants where you have to make a decision.
It's not a haror.
What's that?
It's not haror, but it almost is.
It's even less than haror. Haror is also a decision. You know, it's just haror, it's not a decision between two people. It's a
psak.
It's a psak, but in other words, the chicken and the, it has only one finger, and it was born Ben Ashmashos, and what I'm saying. It's just a determination of the facts, really. It's more kviyus hachodesh than it is. The what? No. Yeah, okay.
So here's Elchad Munkler, I would be so useful. Moshe, he couldn't get the first base.
But you have to know the Metzias. Once they find out the Metzias, it was more. Okay. The interesting thing is that if you look at the. If you look at the Ritva. So look at, first actually look at the our Mishnah in on the Beis Amid Aleph already talks about the requirement of Tisha V'Kohen when it comes to, look at the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph just for a second. Mishnah says V'Karkos Tisha V'Kohen, right? The Adam Ki Yotze Bahen. Everybody see that? Akarkol shel hekdesh requires 10, and the 10th one should be a kohen, la shuman, in bal avdosam. Right? If there's a requirement of the pigeon to assess the value. The adam, a bal avdos atzmo, viad hekdesh tzarech asara la shumo, etc. Okay. So the question that the Rishonim had, same thing appears in the Mishnah Megillah. So, in Sugin Megillah. So look here, Megillah, Chav Gimel and Beis, number 9 on the second page. Number 10. Akarkos Tisha V'Kohen Adam Kiyotzamahen Minonim Yili. Gemara says Amar Shmuel Asara Kohanim Tzuva B'Parsha. Right? 10 times in the Parsha it says Kohanim Chad L'Gufei V'Ideh Chav Amiyat Achar Miyut Amiyat Achar Miyut El Rabos. So it's not really Kohanim, it's Tisha Yisraelim V'Chad Kohen. Okay. That's how you know this. The Tosus asks, look at 13, Kashali, Amai lo boy, Achadasar. The Parsha is 10. But we should turn it into 11. Dein doesn't shuckle, Chol Dabar Shutali, Shomim B'Shikol Adas. Eim chamisha kohen and chamisha Yisrael, kosher. Right? How can you? Why is this any different than what we've been saying all along? Like, say, Rabbi Yoshia, right? I'm sorry, Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason said that it says Elohim twice. Vein bezin shakum al sifir alei about echad. Here it says 10, you know, but it can't be 10 because that's an even number. So al sifir alei about echad, it should be 11. So this is the question that bothered all Rishonim. So the Balei Tosas, as you can see, don't really give an answer. Not here in Megillah. This is Megillah Chav Gimel of Days. And not in the parallel Tosas in Erech. The Rajba and the Ritva do give an answer. And they say as follows. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah and in Megillah, the same answer. Look at number one. On that second page, Kama Lekodesh Baruch Hu Adika Akrina Ba'adach. This is in Rosh Hashanah. Pierce the Siva Kodesh Hazel Lachem Eidazu Tuhim Besura Lachem. Ein Bezin Shalkom Mosifim Alei Modechad. When it comes to Kiddush Hakodesh, we do say Mosifim Aleim Odechad. Kashali Atnan BeMegillah learned in Pesachim Megillah Kakos Tisha VeKohen Umaisin BeGemar Mishum, because it says Dasara Kohanim Ksiv VeParsha. My law means the kula chadzar. Then bezin shakom asif and aleim odachad. The betosas halua the kushya. Tos didn't answer. The yesh mirei bosai mitartzim the shiny hasam kivin the nachas korlim mimni asar kohanim below mani yoser the vaday minyana dafkahu. It says 10 different times kohanim. So it sounds like it's very specific. Not that it's, oh, of course, you have to round it off to the nearest odd number. The Lodomi Lahadahacha. It says, because they're the ones that counted. I mean, they're the ones of stature. So, Halachashiv Prata Kulahai. They weren't saying everybody who was there, they were picking out the ones that mattered. The name of the Nichtov Shlishi, such that you say, oh, it mentions two, but you need three. Might as well have said three. Right? Even Moshe and Aaron. They're zeroing in on the principles. Shared dibur and Moshe and Aaron bilvad. Ain shem makom lichtov shlishi. On the contrary, writing a name, you know, Moshe and Aaron and Yankel, X Y, Mr. ABC, whatever it was. You know, how can he mention the same name as the same sentence as Moshe and Aaron? Shared dibur and Moshe and Aaron bilvad. Ain shem makom lichtov gim. You fill in the blanks with the tweak the numbers with the principle. Right? There, why didn't they just straight out straight 11? So, but okay, that explains why we're not saying this, but now we need to explain the exception. Like, why is it an exception? Backward, we construct it backwards, but it is an exception. But how does it fit into the rule? The answer is Ashminan, Kivin the Shuma Bialmahi, Mistayan Basara Kohanim, the Daktek Mishumaso, Velobiinan Bezin Shakal. Since it's an assessment, right, rather than a decision, or it's a different kind of a decision, right? 10 is enough, and we don't need a bezin shakal. We're not worried about it being a bezin shakal. So this is interesting. He says a similar kind of thing. Look at the Rajba and the Ritva in Megillah. So the Rajba Megillah, number 16, 15-16, same thing. Hikshar b'chana n'avle atzrucha yud aleph called bezin shemamu shal nefashos. Tamar ein bezin shakum atzifin alei mod echad. Also lo b'kusha. B'chana was the probably. This is Rabbi Chana, who is the son of the Ri. We had a son, Rabbi Chana. We have his Tosis in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Tosis Rabbeinu Chana, Tosis Rabbeinu Chana. Anyways, The linira the shiny hachash appeared a kasev asar kohen. Same answer. The parsha vilu came. Avla the michtav yud aleph. Ain't dom lemas shomer bereish. Perikor ubezdin. Chodesh alechem rosh chadashim. Ain't bezin shakul mosifin olecha. It's fascinating because you would think from the way that the Rajba and the Ritva write that it's written in the Gemara that we need three dayanim in Kiddush HaChodesh based on the principle of Ein Bezin Shakum Osifin Alei Marechad, right? So that's what Bali Tosa say, and Rishonim accepted it afterwards, so it became so accepted that it's almost like it's in the Gemara. If you read these Rishonim, it's almost like they're quoting the Gemara. Ein Adom Lema Shomer Bereish Ra'u Bezdin, right? That Hakodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim Ve'ein Bezin Shakol Mosif Neu Alei Morechad. There's no such line in the Gemara. Right? We read the Gemara. We have it here. Look at the Gemara earlier. You'll see. Do I have it? Yeah. The Gemara says here, page on 20 in the previous page. Seif Yitzrich Ha'ini Yachan Demen Al Yidei Atzim Sokadayt Chamina Ho'litzan Dini Mamanitz Begimel Ima Yimul Chil Rabin Donafim Yechidi Hakanami Nekad Shev Yechidi Kamashvula Ve'im Hakanami That's the Gemara. If you look at Tosfos, Tosa says, but the way the Rashi was already quoting it, and the Ritva was already quoting it, you think that the Gemara said it, but it didn't say it. Okay, anyways. Back in the Rajma. Period. The time of the Milsa, the Shumahi, the Eino Kedin Mamish. Now this is a little different than what the Ritva said. Maybe. The Ritva said, for Shuma, right? Since it's only Shuma, Kimi the Shuma, Bialmahi, Mistayan, Basarakom. We're not so worried that we're going to have Machloksim, right? So 10 is fine. Shuma Bialmahi. The Rajma doesn't exactly say Shuma Bialmahi. It says Shumahi, the Eino Kedin Mamish. Right? But it sounds like maybe there's a fundamental difference between Shuma and Din. And since this isn't Din, there's no requirement of a Bezin Noten. Not that fundamentally they're the same, but it's easier to come to a Shuma. We're not worried about the need for an odd number. Right? If you look again, the Ritva in Megillah, you'll see again the contrast, same thing. Same thing. Yeah, same, mostly same people, a little bit different language. Hakakos, Pirsh Kishapodim in a Hektesh. Tishav HaKohen Dasar HaKohen in Ksuv B'Parsha. Kinisu B'Gemara. I'm at line 24 now. Hikshav HaTosus Neim HaKivin Desiv Asar Ein Bezin Shokol. Havala Yud Aleph. The B'chol Dini Amaman is Bein and Shlei Bezin Shokol. Kiram Yidim Perakaru Bezdin. Again, they're quoting the Gemara as if it says it. The boy, Kiddush HaKohen Shosh Gimel, Medesiv HaKohen Shosh Dalachet, Vein Bezin Shokol. Kimosha Yaron Mosifin Od Echad Anachon Shiny Akad the Parit Krab, the Heja, Asarav, La Yoser, Lo Yatsarak Odechad, a Porek, Mashaykin Hassam, Kshadibra Moshe Yaron, Loya Mokam Lahaskir Shlishi, the Somach of Davar Yaduain, Bezin Shakal, the Tama Davar, sorry, Davar Shal Shumahu. Here he says, Velo Shchicha Ba Plukta. It's a third formulation, but that's probably what he means also in Rosh Hashanah. People don't argue as much on evaluations, right? If the court orders an assessment, people not argue as much as opposed to guilt and innocence. I don't know.
Major appraisal issues.
Appraisal issues.
Yeah, that's what it is. And
maybe there are more conventional and accepted methods of appraisal.
They usually delegate it to a master, someone who's bucky and mighty.
And you know, you'll see the opposite perspective in just a second. I'll explain what I mean. V'lo shchicha b'plukta, shelo yaskimu kulam, orubam, l'das echad, v'mecholku, az mosifin aleim. You can always add if you need. So you have three formulations. I think the one here in Megillah, the Ritva Megillah, the Ritva Rosh Hashanah, likely meaning the same thing, meaning it's not as difficult to come to, you know, an agreement, you know, whether it's unanimous or rove, you know, even if you had an even number, and therefore we're less worried. The Rajba doesn't sound that way to me. The Rajba seems like he's saying a legal point, which is assessments, you know, do not require an odd number the same way that it's not a decision, it's an assessment. And therefore, legally, conceptually, it's something different. That's what I think he's saying. Oh. The other possibility here is what they mention in the name of the Beis HaLevi, and that is almost the opposite of what the Ritva says. And that is as follows. In a case where you're dealing with many determinations of Beis Din, that you're dealing with one of two possibilities. It's similar to what we're saying about the Tumim, but in a different way, of course. Meaning, there are two possible outcomes. So you're going to be Mekadosh HaKodesh, you're not going to be Mekadosh HaKodesh, right? of course, in a regular Din Torah, he's Chayv or he's Zakai. When it comes to Shuma, there aren't just two possibilities, right? There are numerous possibilities. So what you might say is that an odd number doesn't help you. An odd number only helps you when there are two options. But if there are three options, right, anything beyond, then the odd number is not going to help you. So, in theory, that could be another answer. It's interesting. If this comes up later on, we'll talk about it. There's certain difficulty with Rashi on Vav Amud Aleph in the context of Pshara, the relationship between Pshara, compromise, and Din. And the Marsha calls him out on it. It might be relevant to this as well. Because Pshara, when judges offer a compromise, in theory, that there's not one compromise. Right? There's a range of compromises. So the Gemara there is trying to explain that, you know, maybe Din requires three, but Pshara would get away with two. Is that true even if you hold Makshinan, Pshara, Ladin? That we compare Pshara and Din? How can it be we compare Pshara and Din? We say you can get away with two and you don't need a Bezin note that. Right? So the answer may be, well, you could say that maybe it's just easier to come up with a compromise. You know, you could say what are the two things that we're saying here. Bali Tosis actually say in Andavav, just looking for 1 second, just to see what I'm talking about. Vav Amud Aleph. So then the Gemara just looks for a second. The Gemara says, "Lema ketanoi," like in the middle of the page. Bitzua b'shlosha divrei Rabbi Meir chachamim pshara biyachid. Svarua lekulam makshinim pshara ledin. My lab hakam ifli mar savar din b'shlosha mar savar din b'shnayim. The Gemara says, "Lo kulam din begimel." Then the Gemara says, "Lema tlasa tanoi." There are three tanoim: the pshara, mar sover b'shlosha, mar sover b'shnai, mar sover b'yachid. Yeah. So this is a discussion in the Gemara. Anyways, if you look at Tosis just says bitzua begimel, afagav de makshinam pshara ledin, lav lekol davar makshinan. The bedina zina basaruba im shneim arum zakei beechad omer chayiv o ipcha ubepshara lo zina basaruba ad sheyaskim u'shloshtan ledas echad ki damar beperik baser davar zara ki deshaim beit losa afilu trei migot losa ki de amri beit losa ad de amri beit losa. Right, shuma of beit losa is 2 out of 3. But Umri Beit Lasa, pronouncement, means by all three. Here the Gemara Theotosis concludes that even if Pshara requires three Dayanim, it requires a unanimous decision. Fascinating. By that, the Riaz disagrees. The Riaz and Tosis Riad, his grandfather, both disagree. They say, no, if Makshinim Pshar Ladin, then it should be Rove. Right? Anyways, that's one issue. But then, in this whole discussion of Makshinim Pshar Ladin, is a strange Rashi. Rashi says here, Mandam Artreya Filo Bechad, Makshir, right? Rashi says, the Kimi de lo Makshinu Leiladin, if you're already not comparing it to the din, Mali Trey, Mali Chad, then what's the difference whether it's one or two? So the Marsha says, well, what about the whole din of, still should make a difference, what about the whole din of Bezdenote? So on. Anyways, some of the Achronim suggest the same idea, that in Pshara, maybe there's no din of Bezdenote. Because, again, already the fact that the Tosas, Bali Tosas, and many of the Rishonim hold that you need unanimous and you don't have a rove, right, that's already fascinating. We've tried to show that there's a strong link between unanimous versus rove and Bez and Nota, right? Also, they show that Pshara works in a totally different way. But in addition to that, if you really do need unanimous, maybe there's no point of a Bezendot at all, right? But the other point is that anytime there's no limitation of two decisions, then Bezendot is not going to help you be more decisive, right? So maybe that's also part of the discussion. Anyways, one final just example of it. There are numerous others, but. What's that?
Is that printed?
I can't find it for some reason recently. I saw it a long time ago, but I don't know. I've been looking for it.
I don't think that Rav Arayu plays into this situation.
Of what?
I mean, the value of the Shulman. I mean, of course, it's with more or less, but you're already taking whatever.
No, the Shulman they're talking about is in Kachin.
Take his property and give it to the Kohanim, right?
Yeah.
So it being taken anyway, just a question.
No, it's Repodo. We're talking about the Pidgeot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is already an action of Hamosim Kaveiro.
What? I mean. Right. Well, I mean, but again, there's no controversy over that. There's just a question of. I don't really think so.
So maybe that's why you don't need a basic nota.
I don't know. The Rishonim were asking why Motzei Mechira Avarai isn't a factor in Azlina Basarov in Sanhedrin, since we have rule Enochim Amenacharov. They answered that, as we discussed, to satisfactorily, one way or another. So that's not a problem. That's been neutralized, that problem. Either there's no such rule as Enochim Amenacharov, or Sanhedrin is an exception. But either way, that's not a problem. Here we're talking about a different issue, and that is, whether it's Pshara or Shuma, why wouldn't there be a Din of Bezendote? If in general there's a Din of Bezendote. Okay. Yeah.
Why does Tosfos leave it as a Kushya?
As what?
As a Kushya.
In which case?
In the case of Shuma.
Don't understand why there isn't a Din of Bezendote. I mean, you like the other answers so much that you are upset that they didn't give them.
Right.
I guess they didn't like it so much. I don't know. I mean, they're very, Bali Tosfos are very big into Bezendote. But, you know, it's part of the, that generation, they didn't feel that. I mean, I'm sure they could come up with, they were, you know, very brilliant men. They didn't think those were the right answers. They didn't, you know, whatever. They weren't happy with it. It sometimes can happen. Yeah?
Isn't Shuma part of any, even a regular Bezdin? You have to estimate what the damages were. You have to estimate what the injuries were.
Right, but usually it's a peripheral or trivial, you know, part. I'm not saying it isn't important for the bottom line, but what I'm saying is, you wouldn't say about a decision-making Bezdin, you know, in Mamanus or Nefashos or Knossos, whatever, that they're primarily about Shuma. They have a little Shuma piece. It's like, you know, you're in a, I can give you the mashal, whatever, any mashal. You're in a certain kind of a trial, and you know, there's also, you know, a small procedural element. There's a constitutional, you know, component too. It's 2% of the case. But you have to define the kind of bezin you're dealing with.
But the other,
what I'm saying is, in Karka and Adam and Kadshim and so on, that's what the bezin is. That's what this panel is for. This panel has been formed to do this. That's not true in Mamanis or in Pashos. The panel's been formed on the whole case. Now, for a little piece of the case, I mean, you know, you're involved. Anytime you're involved in a case that is a little bit multifaceted, there are going to be, you know, that's why firms sometimes take cases, right? Because there's a corporate part, and there's a tax part, and there's a, you know, a criminal part, and there's a partnership part, you know. But in the end of the day, who's going to be the lead lawyer? Who's going to be the lead lawyer?
Practically,
it's your firm. You have to give the case. Who's going to be the lead lawyer?
Well, depends what the big dollar issue is.
Or, okay, but whatever, it's about 100%. It's going to be, what's that meaning? In many cases, there's, in O.J. Simpson trial, right? So, what's his name? I saw him, he was interviewed the other night. You know, Dershowitz, right? So he was one of the dream team. He was one of the lawyers. He basically didn't do anything in the end. Because he was there in case they lost, right? So he was supposed to be pouring over, he was the appeals person, right? He's an appeal lawyer, right? Am I saying this correctly? Right. So they had 5 lawyers, they had 10 lawyers. What do they have? They had the one, he's the mumchen in cross examination. And he's the mumchen assessing, they had these guys from Cardozo Law School, right? Who were in charge of the whatever project that, what was it called? The Innocence Project. Yeah, it's called the Innocence Project. So they were the cutting edge guys on the DNA thing. And but who is the lead lawyer? The one who either can puts it all together, or the primary thing. So what I'm saying is, in the Mishnah, Echad Kohen Tisha Yisraelim, that's a bezdin of Shumas Kodshim. That's their specialty. That's what they're trained for. So therefore, the numbers reflect that. But if you're in the middle of a Nezikin case, of course you're 1,000% right. Of course you have to assess the damages. Right? And if you're in a case where there's an insurance aspect of it, there's an insurance adjuster. You get called to the stand, or you bring him in, and if you're a huge firm and you have a lawyer who specializes in that, so you'll say, you know, send that guy down, you know, for this part of the case. But it's not his case. You're not the, if there's a difference in the configuration of the number of jobs, is it a criminal case? Is it a monetary case? Is it a? Of course, there's a lot of overlapping, but what defines it? The central focus. So even though there is a shuma aspect in other cases too, they're not shuma batidinim. It's not a shuma case. It's a case, and it has a very peripheral shuma part in it. You know, that's what it is. Okay, that's different pshara. If you're going a bezdin shel pshara, so there, that's a bezdin shel. I'm saying, so number one, it depends how pshara really works, and if an element of that also happens to be, you know, that there's more than one solution, right? So then maybe the din bezdin nota is, you know, is not going to be a requirement. Yeah.
Can there be pshara on dinei nefashim?
No.
I mean,
chalila.
Here in civil law, we do have
that. And dinei nefashim?
You're still taking a plea.
No, that's something else. Meaning, if the prosecution feels they can't get a conviction, so at least they can get manslaughter or something or whatever, negligence, so they'll make a deal. Halacha doesn't really do it. Well, I mean, we have other ways of maknisos al kippah, other things. But that's different than a pshara. A pshara is dinei mamonos. That's between bali dinim, imposed on bali dinim if they accept. You know, how much din is there in pshara, and how much shalom in pshara, and how much, you know, just like using good offices, you know, to come to a conclusion, a peaceful conclusion, or really a kind of a tweaked din. That we'll get to when we get to pshara. That's a very critical issue. But there's no pshara in Dini Nefashos. That's a trend. That's a, yeah, there's, you know, in Dini Mamonis you have the, because they can be mochel the mamon in the end of the day. And Bezin can be mafkir mamon in the end of the day. But no one's a bailim on that in Dini Nefashos. So that's not a malchus and not a, not in the fascia. It's a different kind of a case entirely with a different configuration. Okay, good. One more case I wanted to look at quickly. Or yeah, one more issue. So the Mishnah says in Gittin, this is number 30. Barishona Hayosa, right? Barishona Hayosa, Itmar. Bifnei Kama Mevatlo. So this is, what's the background for this? The Mishnah Ashaleach Gittin says that, you know, in the olden days, you know, people used to write a get and they'd send it along with a shliach. Sometimes they'd change their mind and they would be mevatel the get. But, you know, the shliach didn't know. He might deliver it to the isha. She'd think that she was divorced. She'd go ahead and get remarried. And terrible things could happen. So they made this takonos about how, what the proper way to be mevatel a shliach haget, you know, is, has to be b'fanav, or b'fnei bezdin, and things of that sort. So b'rishoni osa, that's what we're talking about. So the Gemara says, itma, b'fnei kama hu mevatlo. You know, if he wants to be mevatel the shliach on the get, how many people does he need to do it in the presence of? So the Gemara, Gemara says, "Rav Nachman Amar b'fnei Shnayim, Rav Sheshes Amar b'fnei Gimel, Rav Sheshes Amar b'fnei Gimel, Bezin Ktani." She says, "Takana was to do it in the presence of a bezin." Rav Nachman Amar b'fnei Beis, Rabbi Treinami Bezin Karelu. We sometimes call two a bezin as well. Of course, this is very, we'll see in a moment. Amar Rav Nachman Minami Nala, Tzitam Masrani Fnechem. I put that in intentionally; it wasn't a mistake. The Gemara compares this case, or tries to prove one from the other, provable. That when you deposit your loan with Bezdin, or with the people, you know, right before the end of the Shnas HaShmita, because you wanted to avoid Shmita's Ksafim, so you wanted to write a provable, there's a parallel debate whether or not it's a Shnayim or Shloshim, two or three. So the Bali Tosas here discuss whether or not the debate between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether you need two or three, actually is very parallel to the discussion in our Gemara, right, starting from Gimel and Aleph, and then we get back to it on Hey Amid Beis, you know, whether Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, or not. Whether two people can be a Bezdin and Dineim Amidus. You need two, right, or three. Similarly, do you need two for Bitul HaGet, for Prusbul, or three? So the Rishonim debate whether it's the same argument, it's different people. It's a parallel argument. Is it the same argument or not? So Tosa says, Rav Nachman Amar B'nei Shnayim, Delitrei Nami Bezin Kari Lehu. Ein Lomar, Rav Nachman L'Tameidam, Perakam Ad Sanhedrin, Mishmei D'Shmuel, Shnayim Shadanu D'Neim Din. Right? Don't think that Rav Nachman, who says Shnayim, agrees with Shmuel, who says that two can be a court in Dinei Mamonos. Da Rava Leisle Hossam de Shmuel. Because Rava and our Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you remember, on Gimel and Aleph, right, disagrees with Ravacha Bei Dravika. So he disagrees with Shmuel. He requires three. Korchach Rava Isle Hachik Rav Nachman. Probably Rava agrees with Rav Nachman here. And he says, Be'omer B'fnei Shnayim. Basically, it's a little complicated. The Bali Tosas are very good Bekiyim in these things, right? So they figured out, you know, based on Rava's track record of Pesachim, that probably he endorses Rav Nachman's view of two when it comes to get and prosbul, even though when it comes to bezdin, dinei mamonos, not true. So obviously we have a discrepancy. So it looks like the same argument is indeed a parallel argument, but a different argument. The Ode, Amar Rabbi Yerushalmi to Sanhedrin, Yochan Veshlakish, Tamit Shavai, Shnaim Shadanu, Ein Dineim Din, right, against Shmuel, you need three. Rabacholet, Sinidivamos, Namar Rabbi Yochanan, Ger Tzorich Shlosha, you need three for Gerus, Mishpat Ksivbe, Akar Tzor Klomar, and yet here they're saying two, Akar Tzor Klomar, Afagab the Trey, Ein Dineim Din, Kivit the Prisbol, Sagi betray, Karlu Bezdin. Tulsa says, you know, there's a difference between Prisbol and Bethel Get on one side, that is with two, as opposed to matters of Gerus or and Dine Mamanis, which require three. But what Tulsa didn't do was give us any explanation why, right? So the Ramban says, Yafa Pirush Rashi, Bidrav Nachman, Afagav Bidrav Nachman, the Afagav, the Gabadina Maman has been in Shlosha, Vilhacha, Due Bial Mahu, who betrays Sag. Ramban is Medayik in Rashi, that Rashi seems to emphasize about Rav Nachman, that the reason that he thinks two is enough is because when it comes to Bitzel Aget, the issue is not a bezdin per se; it's publicizing in the presence of a certain panel, right? That this action has been taken. Because why do they make this takana? They wanted to make sure that the woman would know that she's still mekudeshes, and she wouldn't act upon the get, which had no validity, right? The chein b'shmita. Same thing is true in Shemitah. Giluye milsa bafkuei mamonahu. It's a way of publicizing this. Hov hit kenhilal afilu betray nami sagi. Kedamina lekamon. Da afilu besiris mili sagi. The hill lefkia mamon b'de'adim b'pruzma b'chol dehu sagi. Okay. Kaimel nami haki karab nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, kaimel and be'almos shnaim shidanu ein dinayim din. Goes with the same as Tosas. Even on dinayim mamonis you require three. B'chomas of the chiyuv uptur. Ein bezdin shakol. Anything having to do with chiyuv and ptur, this is a din of bezdin nota. But anything that doesn't have to do with chiyuv and ptur, but has to do only with publicizing, right? You need a panel to publicize, like an official body, right, in the presence of whom something took place so that the word will go out. But there's no chiyuv and ptur, no decision making of chiyuv and ptur. There's no din of bezin nota. The chain pasuk Rabbeinu Agadol, the raya, gedola, Amar mimash Amar v'dilma beidina deravina, derabana Ashi rather kishmul svirle. Mash pasuk of Acham mishabcha gon. Rab Shilt, the author of the Shiltos, did link the two. Kirabavo, b'shnayim shenon the name din. Derav Nachman Nachik koy kavase. He said, our Gemara in Gittin or the Gemara in Gittin is a proof that we pasken like Shmuel. Obviously, he felt it was one topic. Lesa. Rambam says he's wrong. Asugim perkas ksabatim, b'derabam rab nachman, maisa bezin gimel, and so on. Okay. So basically the Ramban, that's already the next stage, you know, beyond the Baalei Tosas, is already providing an explanation that there's a difference between deciding guilt and innocence, or making a decision, and being a presence which is going to communicate, or the result of which is that something will be communicated. The Rajba is even more explicit. Just one final step. Rajba says, Rav Nachman Rav Shnishnayim, Shnayim Dan doesn't correlate. Iyaf Shil Fafrushe, Rav Nachman Hoch Azul Tamei, Domer Bresh Per Kamet Sanhedrin, same discussion. That, you know, it's tempting but not correct to say that this is the same argument as whether a bezin of two is a proper bezin. Mishmei Shmuel Shnayim Shadonu Deim Din, as Shnikur Bezin Chatzuv. Should the kaim b'lahok Rav Nachman, we're going to pasuk Talmuna behedjel. Vehuchasak Rav Nachman, banan ba'i shnayim shadanu kaim alon kareva. We don't pasken like Shmuel. The breish bar kamet Sanhedrin leislei hod Shmuel. El afa pi shadanu ein dinayim din. Oh, the besamach of flugur Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish, put the Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes. Same thing what we read in the other Rishonim. Rav Yochanan Rav Nachman Rish Lakish Rav Sheshes. Pasim Sahedin Garcina Birushami Rabyokan Rishak. Domit Chavayu, Shnaim Shadana, Wendy named it. Ruperka Cholitz Nami on Rabyokanan, Ger Tzorik Gimel Mishvak Sipe. Alahaki Kamar. The Shnaim Nami Bezen Karalu. The Gabi Bitel Ged, the Gabi Prusbol. Okay, here comes the key line. You have to read a lot of these Rishonim. Some of them are very, very similar. But, you know, you have to, you know, be aware, you know, for the differences. Just like before we said, the Ritva and the Rajba speak about Shuma and try to explain, but they have a slightly different way to say it, almost opposite, you know, in what they're emphasizing. Right? Here too. So the Ramban just said, you know, Chiyuv and Ptur. He says, anything like Bitla Get and Pruzbal, the Einon Tzrichen Lisa V'litan B'davar, B'shnaim Tzagalot. When there's no debate, the difference is whether there's a debate, there's a Masa Matan, or there is simply a presence. So that's a very good question. That is a very good question. I think the point in Geirus is that, and this seems to be reinforced by something he says elsewhere, is that the only reason Geirus requires three is because Mishpat Ksidbe. We compare a bezin of Geirus to a bezin of Mishpat. And a bezin of Mishpat is something that requires Matzah Mata. Anyways, there's more material on this, but you get the general idea that there's a huge debate in the Rishonim about whether bezin nota is connected with how many possible outcomes there can be, whether it's connected to Shem Bezdin, decision-making, Maso Maton, Chiyuv Ptur. You could draw the line at different places, but the debate is mostly, at least, very, very clear. Okay.
I think Geirus maybe smacks of Dinin Foshos.
What's that?
A person becomes a Gero, he's Mokhuyv and Shah.
Well, the Gemara says Mishpak Sip.
Dinin Foshos, so that's why you need a base.
Well, again, you know, it's a bezin shel gimel, and the Gemara says they're quoting the Gemara Nacholet. Rabbi Yochanan, ger gimel, ger tzar gimel, mishpat ksibbe. Right. There's a whole discussion about, you know, there are really two days in Tosas, according to Shmuel. If Shnayim Shadana named in, you know, would Shnayim be enough for Geirus? Or according to Rabbi Acha Brei Dravika, but even more better. That so I think Tosas on Mem Vav Mud Aleph against Tosas on Mem Zayin Amud Beis in Acholitz in Yavamas. If according to Vachar Ben Ravika, let's say Minar Torah, you know, maybe Ger should be sufficient with Yachin Mum Chalarabin. It's an interesting question too. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop here. A couple, 2 minutes, 3 minutes early. Give special credit for everybody who came early, who came in the bad weather. What we're going to do next time. Is I think the weather's supposed to be good from now on, right? Florida weather from now on?
Tomorrow.
What?
It's supposed to rain tomorrow.
It's supposed to be, it's supposed to be 50 degrees tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit of rain and spring training in the park. I think the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time on Choptesa Med Aleph and Lamed Med Aleph. So I want to talk a little more about Bezin 3 or Bezin as a unit, whether you're allowed to reveal, what if there's malpractice, who pays, do you pay each a third, do they pay together a whole, that kind of an issue. And then back to Heyomid Beis about Eini Odea, because a number of people keep asking about Dayan Shomer Eini Odea, so they will do that after that as well.